very good evening and welcome to The Conversation. We're together through till 10.
The Honest Truth with Benito Vergatini. Smile 90.4 FM.
Although COVID-19 has taken the world's attention, climate change remains one of the greatest challenges. Currently, South Africa is the 14th largest greenhouse gas emitter, therefore morally and environmentally obligated to play a role in resolving greenhouse emissions globally. And we're also a signatory to the Paris Agreement. Now, in the 2021 budget speech, it was proposed that the Carbon Tax Act be amended in a few ways. Joining us to unpack a few of these changes is the Senior Associate for the Tax and Exchange Control Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Louis Buerta. Louis, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, Benito. Thank you. It's good to be with you and your listeners.
Thank you so much. So looking at some of the changes proposed through the Carbon Tax Act, which was announced earlier this year, what is the renewable energy premium, which was one of the changes or amendments?
The changes proposed in the 2021 budget are at this stage. They were just proposals. Draft legislation will be introduced probably sometime between June and August. Public will have opportunity to provide input on these changes, and then the legislation will only be passed later. But in terms of the changes, and specifically the one relating to the renewable energy premium, again, it might just be helpful to give some context. This renewable energy premium is essentially available for persons who, to put it this way, who try to reduce their carbon tax liability by, for example, purchasing renewable energy. So they might, for example, make use of fossil fuels in the generation of electricity, and they then purchase renewable energy, which obviously is does not emit greenhouse gases. So that essentially what the renewable energy premium relates to.
And this is open to any business, I would presume. And are they able to claim that particular expense back at all?
Well, so there's a formula proposed essentially in the Carbon Tax Act, and the amendment here arose, or the proposed amendment is partly because the legislation, the provision as it reads currently, is not clear. So currently, for example, the one issue is that the amendments, the formula to calculate how much the renewable energy premium is not clear. So that's the one issue. But yes, in practice, it would be a business that the Act talks about someone that generates electricity. It appears that what they want to do now is to say that where either the purchaser is involved in the purchase of renewable energy, or one has the generator of renewable energy, either one of the two will qualify for the renewable energy premium. It's just not clear from the proposal which one of the two it will be.
Okay. Is it clear then who are the renewable energy premium beneficiaries possibly?
So currently it would be the entity that generates the electricity and which purchases the renewable energy. So, for example, solar or wind energy, there are a couple of types listed in the regulation, which would then be able to use the amount of energy purchased to then reduce its carbon tax liability.
What is the carbon tax liability without these particular amendments? For example, if an entity doesn't apply to the premium, what is the liability then for organization?
So I mentioned earlier there's a whole long formula, but it depends on what type of greenhouse gas emissions the entity generates in their activity. So we spoke about electricity generation, but it can be any number of activities. And so there are then various ways to reduce the carbon tax liability, and one of these then is the renewable energy premium.
Senior Associate for the Tax and Exchange Control Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Louis Buerta, joins us in conversation this evening just to share some insights around the proposed amendments to the Carbon Tax Act, which was announced in this year's budget speech. At this stage, is still a draft, which is open for public comment. Louis, am I understanding that correctly?
So Benito, so the draft legislation, which actually will give specific wording for the amendments will only be released towards the middle or the second part of the year, generally between, I would say, June and August. So it's usually only then. So at this stage, this is merely a conceptual proposal, but the actual wording, the actual draft legislation will come out in a few months' time.
And then it will be open for comment, will it?
Correct, yes, it will.
Okay. So what then is the definition of carbon capture and carbon sequestration?
Okay. So it's quite that's quite an interesting one. I think maybe to put an interesting or spin on it, I can just say that people who are on Twitter might have seen back in January, Elon Musk posted a tweet saying that he would donate $100 million as an award for a person who could come up with the best carbon capture technology. So it's something that is being looked at quite seriously now. So basically what carbon capture is it relates essentially to the process whereby an entity's activities would result normally in the emission of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. Now, to reduce the amount of greenhouse gases that are then emitted, the technology is created to capture the carbon, call it that, at the point of emission. So instead of it then being released into the atmosphere,
yeah,
it is captured and then transferred and stored in essentially a carbon reservoir, which is generally sort of an underground or a reservoir. So and that's what sequestration refers to. So the carbon capture is the capture to prevent release into the atmosphere, the sequestration, the storage thereof, underground.
That storage underground is fairly secure, so that it doesn't have any subsequent environmental consequences as well.
So that is an important issue. So interestingly, for example, South Africa has certain government bodies, one of which is SANENI, which is mandated by the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy to look into technology, look into the efficiency of the technology to also, among other things, ensure safety and efficacy.
Okay, so an entity that utilizes technology to capture the carbon and then to storage, will they also be eligible to apply for an energy premium too?
So the two things are separate. Essentially, what the carbon capture is a different way to now try and reduce one's emission of greenhouse gases.
I see.
So the qualification for the renewable energy premium would arise in one context, and carbon capture as a means to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and carbon tax liability would arise in a slightly different context.
And how would it impact upon the business then if they utilize carbon capture?
So it would, practically speaking, would likely be a cost issue. So obviously, the technology for this is being looked at, and the different means of technology are being developed. But essentially, if one looks at, on the one side, there would be the cost of investing in the technology and using it. So that could obviously affect a business's profitability and bottom line and so forth. It's good for the environment, of course. So it might be good from a reputational perspective for a business. The other thing, of course, the benefit is also is that the carbon capture will result in lower greenhouse gas emissions and therefore a lower carbon tax liability for the entity. So lower taxes also positively affect their bottom line.
And will this positively be transferred to the customers in any way, do you think?
So it depends on how the costs, I would think, how the costs are allocated within the business. So if the cost is extremely high, do they pass it on to their customers, to the actual product sold to their customers? On the other hand, there is the benefit, the benefit for the environment, the benefit that is created in the interest of the public, which is that less carbon is released into the atmosphere, which is obviously good for the environment and to mitigate climate change.
Yes, if I understand this correctly, then Louis, those entities that are eligible to apply for energy premium would be doing so because they've invested in alternative energy sources to reduce their gas emissions.
Typically, yes, they wouldn't necessarily have invested in it themselves, but at the very least, they would be purchasing energy, purchasing clean energy to generate electricity.
All right.
So it's not necessarily an investment, but at the very least, it's the actual acquisition of clean energy, of renewable energy, as opposed to dirty energy for
all right. And then entities who make use of carbon capture and sequestration, their carbon tax liability is then consequently also reduced.
Correct, yes, but just in a different context from the renewable energy premium. Correct.
Understand. All right. So what progress then, Louis, has also been made on waste tire greenhouse gas emissions?
So in terms of the waste tire greenhouse gas emissions, there was just a small note in the budget where what was mentioned was that at this stage they're still developing so-called emission factors for waste tire emissions. So emission factors are basically it's a bit scientific, and there's a whole section of the Act that also, well, there's a schedule of the Act which sets up the emission factors for different kinds of chemicals and so forth. But essentially, the emission factors are what is used to determine the carbon tax, to essentially determine the amount of greenhouse gas that is released, and then the concomitant carbon tax liability. And so, like I said, they're still in the process of developing these emission factors for waste tire.
Right. And then lastly, what is the carbon budget allowance?
So again, the carbon budget allowance, there was a sort of a technical amendment that was announced in relation to that, which doesn't have a significant impact. But from an interesting perspective, the carbon budget allowance is currently one of the allowances for which taxpayers can qualify to reduce their overall carbon tax liability. So currently, what they would have to do is they would have to register with the Department of Environmental Affairs to sign up for the carbon budget allowance, and if they do, they will be able to qualify for the carbon budget allowance at 5%. So again, that's one way for an entity to reduce their overall carbon tax liability.
But as you mentioned, the draft of these amendments will only be made public and for comments somewhere between June and August this year.
Correct. Likely only then, yes.
All right. Louis Boeta, Senior Associate for the Tax and Exchange Control Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Appreciate your time and for explaining these amendments to us. Louis, appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome, Nico. Thank you very much. Take care.
Certainly a few interesting amendments around the Carbon Tax Act. And as Louis had mentioned, we certainly need more detail around the numbers, for example, that formula to calculate what the energy premium is still unclear. And certainly businesses need that to plan accordingly. And once the draft is released, at this stage, just a conceptual proposal, but once the draft is released in a few months, sometime after June, we certainly will have more information around that, including the cost to the different greenhouse emissions in terms of the liability for the Carbon Tax Act. But at least at this stage, it gives one an idea of the thinking behind the amendments. 28 minutes after 10, still coming up this evening.